The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Come on, give a clap offering to the Lord. Keep clapping, keep shouting glory. Lift up His name high above all other names. At the mention of His name, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that He's Lord and He's God. We hide under His sovereignty. We hide under His banner. We hide under His canopy. And we brag about Him. We thank you. You may please resume your seats. And turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. The other Wednesday, we did part one of It Is Well With You. Today, it's part two of It Is Well With You. Remember, we started with the scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, that say that children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing in His sight. And the Bible further says, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thy days may be long. So we pick the expression that it may be well with thee from Ephesians chapter 6. And we are trying to break it down. So we appreciate that after obedience to our parents, remember I was teaching on order of the family. After obedience to our parents and after honoring our parents, there are benefits that must accrue to us. And we need to understand it so that it serves as a motivation for us to freely and willingly carry out what is required of us. Definitely we shall enjoy of the benefits. If I have any witnesses, let the amen be resounding. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'm preaching on part 2 of It Is Well With You. So 2 Kings chapter 4, we're starting from verse number 8 through 37. But at the risk of boring you, I'd rather start with reading segments of it. So that by the time we complete, we'll be all right. I'm preaching this message under four subtitles. The first one is Initiative of the Woman of Shunem. Initiative of the Woman of Shunem. The second is the response to her initiative. The response to her initiative. The third is the reward to her hospitality. The reward to her hospitality. And the fourth is the challenge posed to the miracle child. That means the death of the child. So first of all, initiative of the woman of Shunem. And secondly, response to her initiative. Thirdly, reward to her hospitality. And fourthly, the challenge to the miracle child. In other words, this child died. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8. And it says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned him thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth out continually. Verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Verse 12. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him into him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore would thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it is well. If you have a hard copy, you can circle, it is well. Then she saddled an ass and said, she said, it shall be well. It shall be well. Verse 24, then she saddled an ass and said unto her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And listen to her answer. And she answered, it is well. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of the Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. When you have an assignment with God, you learn how to keep your lips. Verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and they laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing, wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. When Elisha came into the house, behold, the child was dead, laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Verse 34. And he went up and laid the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. That is why sometimes we pray going to and fro. Elisha nye. And went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her. And when she came in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then they went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. It was necessary that I had to read the thing. So I quickly go over the 4 points. Number one, initiative of the woman of Shunem. Number two, response to her initiative. Number three, reward to her hospitality. Number four, challenge to the miracle child. Number one, initiative to the woman of Shunem. The word initiate means to be a self-starter. Initiate means to act on your own will, your own volition, and to do it by yourself without any external promptings. So when we say this woman took an initiative, she was thoughtful about it. She was considering. She was quite considering about it. And eventually she decided to mention the initiative that she had to the husband. The Bible says in verse 8, she was a great woman. That expression great means she was noble. She was of high status in her community. She was very rich. And she was also prosperous. Now she could perceive that this man that would pass by each time from one end to Mount Carmel and back, she could perceive was a holy man of God. So she recommended to her husband that let us make a little chamber for him as a sign of their hospitality and also as a sign of honor to the man of God. So they provided a bed, they provided a table, they provided a seat, and they provided a candlestick or a lamp. The bed was for resting. The table and chair was to study. And the lamp was to provide illumination. So the place that they set for Elisha was a place for refreshing. It was a place for relief. It was a place for comfort. And it was a place for study and meditation. May God make somebody thoughtful about you. I like the amen. Say it again. Say the final one and establish it in the sight of God. May God make someone sensitive about you to perceive you as a godly child of God and prepare a place for you, a place of refreshing, a place of relief. Oh, you're not saying amen now. A place of comfort and a place where you can reflect over the word of God and seek the face of God. Somebody say amen to that word. So out of love, out of her initiative, she prepared a place for the servant of God. There are things that you have to do for God that nobody has to tell you. There are ways in which you have to do for God that nobody should tell you. And there is a certain speed and commitment with which you go ahead to pursue it without anybody telling you. I'm grateful to God that the place that was prepared was a place for hospitality. It was a place to welcome people. It was a place to receive in the servant of God. It was a place to make him feel at home. And it was a place to show kindness to him and to provide some meals and to provide some snacks and to provide some fruits and to provide anything and do his laundry and everything to make him know that he was an honorable man of God. The second point is the response to her initiative. Heaven will always respond to any act of kindness shown by one person to the other on earth. Heaven will never hold back when she sees an act of mercy, an act of kindness that is demonstrated toward anybody, whether within or without the faith. God says you will in no wise lose your reward. Oh, let me hear better. Amen. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. And the Bible says, he that giveth a cup of cold water to a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that giveth a cup of cold water to a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. If you have been giving to servants of God, may you receive a prophet's reward. And may you receive a righteous man's reward. May you receive the reward that is also assigned for ministering to the needy, the marginalized. Heaven will always respond to any acts of kindness shown by one person toward another. There is no way that you will lose your reward. And there should be no occasion when you go stand somewhere and say, I regret doing this for this person. Don't reverse your blessings. Because any good thing you did, heaven saw it. The Bible says, whatever you want men to do for you, it says, let me say this. It says, whatever you want to be done for you, do it to others that your heavenly Father will reward you. Look at the equation. Whatever you want others to do for you, first show that love to others, that your reward will come from heaven. Your reward will not come from your house help. And your reward will not come from your relatives. Your reward will not come from your friends. Your reward will come from God. So there is no way that you will lose your reward. And that's why you must continue doing good. Because at the end of the day, God is the blesser. And he will be abundantly gracious unto you. Elisha invited Gehazi one time because he was also now taking initiative. Initiative of the woman of Shunem, initiative of the prophet Elisha. So Elisha invited Gehazi and told him, this woman has been careful. She hasn't been haphazard. She hasn't been careless. She hasn't treated us as commonplace people. But she has been careful to take care of us all this period. Ask her if she has any need that we may minister to her. So, the prophet sent for the woman. And the woman came. And the prophet asked her, you have been courteous to us. You have been kind. You have been gracious. you and your husband, you have shared with us out of your love. Is there anything that you want to be done for you that we may consider ministering to you about? Then the woman responded in verse 13 of 2 Kings 4 that nothing. How did she say? She says, for I dwell among my own people. I'll explain that. When asked if there was anything to be done to reciprocate a kind gesture, she said, nothing. Her kind of gesture was unconditional. Her love was unconditional. She wasn't expecting blessing from the man of God. She was expecting blessing from God. And she would not take back anything for the services that she had offered. Then the prophet went ahead to ask her, Madam, assuming the king himself wanted to do something for you, or the captain of the host wanted to do something for you, what would you tell him? I believe that in the mind of the prophet, the king must probably be referring to God. And the captain of the host must again be referring to God. And he says, what would you request at such an instance? The woman still said, nothing, for I dwell among my own people. That expression simply means that I am sufficient. That means that I am satisfied. That means that I am content and I am fine by the grace of God. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And when the woman was still around, Gehazi spoke to Elisha and said, this woman has no child and her husband is old. This woman has no child and her husband is old. When we say somebody is getting old, then it means the person is 50 plus. So he could have been 60. He could have been 70. He could even have been 80. I don't know. But the Bible says this woman has no child and the husband is old. Now listen to me. There are instances that age sometimes can frighten us. And as natural men, when they bring the biological explanations, it can be disturbing. But I want you to know that God is the creator of the human being. And God can do what he wants by his own will at any time. The Bible says, for with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When we talk about all things being possible with God, it implies two things. Number one, that God has the ability and the capability to do what he says he would do. Somebody can promise you that, oh, I'll give you 500,000 cedis, and he hasn't even got the capacity to give you 50,000. Somebody can promise you that when you get married to me, I will buy you a brand new car. And he himself is struggling. When you check his bank account, the bank account is crying. But God has the ability and the capacity to do. Ephesians 3:24, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God has power to tackle any problem. There is nothing beyond the reach of God. There is nothing greater than God. For everything is subject to his word. And in his presence, everything shall bow. So whatever it is that is the challenge that is militating against us, God is greater than your burden. God is greater than your accommodation problem. God is greater than your situation of joblessness. God is greater than you being asked to go home and that you have been furloughed and that there is nothing that shall be given to you and that they will give you some small amount of money. But I want you to know that he has the power, he has the ability, he has the capacity to do what he wants to do. Secondly, this God is more than willing to apply the power. Some lepers came to Jesus and they asked, "Master, if thou will, make us whole." And Jesus said, "I will." God is more than willing to release his grace, to release his power when he's contacted in faith by the people that trust him and believe in him. And while the woman was standing at the door, you know, she came into the room where Elisha was and Gehazi was there, but she had opened the door, I'm sure, partially, and her neck was into the room and she was standing at the entrance. And when the prophet looked at her, he said, "About this season," that's verse 15 of 2 Kings 4, "about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." Oh, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a breakthrough. About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a blessing. In other words, there shall be a manifestation, a tangibility, a reality. The blessing shall be actualized. The word shall become flesh. You will touch it. You will see it. You will feel it. You will experience it. You will enjoy it. And that is the kind of anointing that I'm releasing today. And asking the hand of God to release on your behalf. That kind that when childbirth has delayed, that an answer to prayer has delayed, that a miracle has delayed, and is going beyond a point of redemption. May God bring it within the circles of redemption, and may his hand begin to work out for you. That which is his will supersede the will of the devil. That which is impossible with men shall be possible with God. That medical condition is not beyond redemption, for God with his outstretched arm just in a moment can change your situation. Did she not suffer for 12 years bleeding and getting pale, becoming weaker and virtually at the point of death? The more she spent money on medical expenses, the worse her circumstances became. She went from a general practitioner to specialist of all kind, but they could not assist her. And when she had now come to her wit's end and she was driven into the corner and there was nothing else to do and death was staring her in the face, she heard the name of Jesus, that Jesus was passing by, that this same Jesus was able to raise up the dead and cleanse the lepers and then stop the ears of the deaf. This Jesus was able to open the eyes of the blind and to feed the 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread and some amount of fish. And that Jesus who walked on the water was around. And then she said to herself, Jesus doesn't even need to cast his eyes on me. Jesus doesn't even need to notice that I'm present or absent. But if I'll come from behind him and touch by the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She made contact with spiritual reality, and then the anointing of God flowed from Emmanuel's veins into her life. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And
Jesus said, "For I sense that you is gone out of me." May you touch the throne of God today. May you experience the power of God. May the anointing of God descend upon you right where you are seated and right where you are listening to me, that by the time the message is over, your situation would have been enhanced, your circumstances would have been improved. There will be a significant transformation in your financial domain. I declare your healing shall manifest. I call for the appearance of the manifestation of that pregnancy. I release the grace of God. I release the ability of God. And I release the power of God.
Today you are not clapping like men and women of faith. Oh, is somebody here excited? Oh, let me hear. I'm not hearing voices of excitement. Can you combine a clap and a shout extended to God's glory? Somebody. Your breakthrough has come. Your miracle is at hand. There is a turning around in your business. God is sending ravens to feed you. God is touching somebody to show initiative to you about this season. According to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Can you put your hands on your chest and say, I have embraced my miracle? Oh, come on, put your hands on your chest and say, I have received my blessing. I have received my breakthrough. I take it. I possess it. I have it. I keep it. I will not let it go. I await its manifestation. It shall come to pass. So, number one, the first point is initiative of the woman of Shunem. Number two, the response to her initiative. Her kindness activated a response that led in the prophet of God inviting her to ask her what her need was. And it went to the extent of the prophetic declaration that she so needed to bring about the miracle. Number three, following the response, we have the reward of her hospitality. The reward of her hospitality. In verse number 16, she conceived and bore a son in that same season, according to the time of life. Her unconditional hospitality was ultimately rewarded. Her genuine desire to give to a servant of God was met with heavenly reward. Her desire to be a source of encouragement and inspiration to the man of God didn't go unnoticed. Heaven responded and heaven rewarded her. Her desire to honor the man of God was honored back in return. The Bible says, don't be mocked. And it says, don't be deceived. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. And I want you to know, if you sow love, you will reap back love. If you sow mercy, you will reap back mercy. If you sow favor, you will reap back favor. And when you sow honor, you will get honor back. The Bible says, honor thy father
and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long. If you dishonor your parents, you will be dishonored. But when you honor your parents, God will honor you. Oh, am I preaching the word? She conceived and went through full term, carried her own baby after delivery. I want to mention to you, honor begats honor. In other words, honor gives birth to honor. Love gives birth to love. Kindness gives birth to kindness. And you may sow it at a time that you are fine, but another time when you need it, God will make it appear unto you. I want you to know that the Bible says we must honor God first of all, and honor him with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. Honor God. The honor is reflected by your spiritual disposition. The honor is reflected by the state of your heart, not just the physical or social activity. The honor is a product of an internalized disposition of your heart, which will manifest outwardly and show on the outward. It is like pride. Pride starts from the inside and manifests in all kinds of arrogant looks and arrogant talks, and somebody carrying himself arrogantly and looking down upon others. And when you honor God, it emanates from your heart. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. You see, it's important to appreciate the fact that God is also listening to your heart and watching what happens in your heart before your lips say it and before your actions demonstrate it. So it's important that God was looking into the heart of Cain and Abel. And Abel was quite careful about what he did, but Cain was careless about what he did. I would imagine Cain was quite nonchalant. He wasn't really connected to what he was doing. He was doing it as a mere obligation, as a mere requirement for God. They said, I should do it, so I am doing it. But Abel attached importance to it and meditated on the fact that I must present that which will honor God. And Abel did so by making sure that what he presented to God pleased him. Remember, the two of them presented something, but God rejected Cain as well as his offering. May you not be rejected by God. Is somebody hearing me? The church may accept your offering, but God can reject you. And I'm saying, may you not be rejected by God, but may you be favored by God. God is not a God that accepts anything. He accepts what he has prescribed. And men must do it with the right disposition of heart, not with grumbling and not with quarreling and not with a lack of interest in what they are doing. That's why we need knowledge on the word of God, and so that we do the right things and the Lord blesses us back in return.
Abel was honored in his giving, but Cain was not. The woman of Shunem was honored in her generosity. There were other women in town, but she took an initiative
that please the eyes of God, and that will open the door for her.
For some of you, your miracle lies in the mouth of the servant of God. Oh, am I preaching Bible? Number four has to do with the challenge to the miracle child, or in short, the death of the child. The Bible says one day the father was in the field with the reapers. I believe it was the harvest season. So this young man wanted to meet with the father. So he left the house and headed toward the farm. In verse 19, when he arrived at where the father was, he complained about headache. Now, you and I would think headaches are usual, but I wanted to know if somebody is complaining about headache. Sometimes you must take a serious action and rebuke any spirit that is behind it. Can I hear an amen? I know some people need to rest. I know some people need to eat well. But rebuke whatever is behind it and save a life. And when the father realized that the child was not feeling well, what he did was to send the child to the mother. In verse 20 of 2 Kings 4, the Bible says the mother placed this boy on her knees. And in a short while, around noon and beyond, this child died. What a shock. What an anticlimax. The child that you sought for in your old age, that came with joy, has suddenly brought sorrow and pain, disappointment and devastation. Verse 21. So she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Why did she do so? She did so because she believed in the point of contact, that the pillow on which the man of God lay his head was the same pillow that he placed the child on. The bed and the bed sheet on which the man of God would come and lay was the same bed she placed this boy on. She was saying that this man is so anointed that when my dead boy has the body contacting an element that the man's body has contacted, resurrection would be automatic. But the boy did not awake. So she told the husband to send one of the asses, one of the donkeys, and let a servant accompany and give her one of the fast donkeys so that they will speed and go to the man of God. And the Bible says that, verse 22, after she had requested, she was granted the donkeys. And in verse 23, the husband asked her. Now, the husband didn't know the outcome, I would imagine, or probably he knew, but the husband asked her, why are you going to this man of God around this time? Because this man of God, we normally see him on the Sabbath and on occasions when he's less busy. So why do you want to go and see this man of God? The response of this woman was simple. It shall be well. Can you turn to four people around you? I'm giving you instructions now. And tell them, it shall be well with you. It shall
Now tell four people, it shall be well with you. It shall be well with you. It shall be well with you. The word shall is futuristic. It may be in the evening. It may be tomorrow morning. It may be another time next week. But it says that it shall be well.
I said it shall be well. It may not have looked very good yesterday, but I'm saying to you, it shall be well. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Hope keeps our faith alive, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the prophet of God noticed the woman of Shunem coming in the distance. Then he began to ask questions. Then he said, "Is it well with thee?" The woman was quiet. She kept coming on the donkey. "Is it well with thy husband?" The woman kept coming. Then the third question was, "Is it well with thy child?" Then she answered to all these questions, "It is well." To her husband, she said, "It shall be well." But now that she has met the prophet of God, she says, "It is well." Faith accepts the end from the beginning. Faith considers the work finished at the incipient stages. Faith believes the product is ready before production starts. And she says, "It is well." Can you lift up your right hand and shout into the heavenlies? Shout to and say, "It is well." Now hold on. We're going to say it three times. The Bible says when something is said twice, it goes to even establish it. So number one, it well. Number two, it is well. Oh, third one, let it be stronger. Let it be full of energy, power, faith, grace. Number three, it is well. Now clap your hands and shout amen to the declarations that you have made. It is well means there, it is well does not mean there are no challenges. It is well means the woman's only son was dead. It is well means the child that was given in their old age that had become a delight, a source of joy and fulfillment was no longer around, but it is well. It is well means that you may be in a situation of challenges, a situation of adversities, a situation of opposition, frustration, disappointment, and a situation where storms are gathering, and it's like a tornado and a hurricane is coming at you, and you don't know what to do. It is well simply means that you will rise above the circumstances. It is well means that you will not be submerged under any load of despair. It is well means that you may have been knocked down, but when you get up, you will give your opponent a knockout. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is well means that there's a challenge, but your God is bigger than your challenge, and is about to even honor you. It is well means that in spite of the imperfection, there is a divine completeness that is working on the thing.
It is well means in the midst of poverty, lack, and insufficiency, there is a divine blessedness and a supernatural prosperity that is about to manifest. So you must speak in line with the word of God. Let the weak say, I am stronger. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? And let the poor say, I am rich. Can you open your mouth and say, I am healed? I say, I am blessed. Now you are not saying to me, I'm saying to her, I am highly favored. I am prosperous. I am growing from grace to grace. I am rising higher and higher. I have wealth. I have substance. I will not lack financially. God is blessing me with goodly houses and goodly things. I have a good job. I have a good business, which is rewarding. I will not run into debt. God is settling my debts and canceling my debts miraculously. God is lifting me above the flood and is causing me to ride upon the high places of the earth, that the heritage of Jacob shall be my portion. If that is your confession, then let your shout be resounding.
Brother, may God bless you. Who shouted it is well here? May God give you double. 7 times blessing. So you are sitting quietly. You are not even receiving. It is well does not preclude the fact that there are challenges. It is well means there are adversities. Real opposition. Real frustrations and setbacks, real disappointment, sorrow, and pain. It is what means there are storms that are coming against you, and you don't know where to hide. But I have good news for you. The Bible says, in the world, you will have tribulations, you will have storms. You will have setbacks, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome it. The reason why we overcome it is that we have embraced that grace that Jesus bequeathed to us and gave to us as his children. So that grace with the capacity to overcome is upon your life. You may be struggling, but the grace of an overcomer is right upon you. Your marriage may be suffering hiccups, but the grace to prevail is upon your life. You may have difficulties with settling the bills in your home and school fees for your wards, but God's power and grace to make you an overcomer is granted to you. Your medical report may be reading a lack of this and too much of that and nothing of this or that. But have you forgotten that Hezekiah spread the same letter that was written by the Sennacherib? And when they were about to attack them, Hezekiah spread the letter before God and prayed, God, look at what they have written. They're trying to defy and trying to look down and despise the army, the leader of the host of Israel. God raised his hand and saved Hezekiah. May God save you. I say, may God save you. May the Lord save you. Let me hear amen from you. May the Lord deliver you. It is well. Oh, come on. Come on. Give some people a nice shoulder. Just get up and nudge them. Just tell them it is well. Now, come on. Tell them it is well. It is well. Oh, give them a nudge and say it is well. I'm not supposed to nudge somebody. I'm instructing you by the grace of God.
So for it is well, you will start seeing the manifestation from now in the name of Jesus. Why didn't hear an amen? Your business will bounce back to action. Your relationship will be on course. The man you are waiting for shall come your way. The woman you are ordained to marry, her path will cross your path. I see you walking at the to the wedding. It is well. That red carpet has been set for you. I see the altar, and you are saying your vows and looking into the eyes of that person and saying, "Min sumabu tomoshe, min sumabu." It is well. I say it is well. It is well. Even in the midst of coronavirus, it is well. Can I hear an amen? Her son was dead. Yes, she says it is well. Pastor, you don't know how I feel. I invested in him. When he was in the university, I looked after him. We had some back pays, and I took a bank loan to sponsor him. Did God tell you to do that? And Father, Reverend, after he graduated, then another woman came his way. I cursed that woman. And I asked that she would die on the day nobody dies. That she will collide with a Zoom Lion truck. And that I declare her body will be scattered into pieces. Like that of Ahab was eaten by the dogs. But I say to you, listen to me, listen to me. The pain may be colossal, but it is well.
It is well. It is well. Your best friend may have deserted you, but it is well. Your best congregant may have left you, but it is well. Listen. When you look at typical storms, like the hurricane, there will be some amount of heavy downpour. There will be flooding. There will be strong wind, and the winds can uproot trees, sometimes move ships that are on dock and break the chain that is holding them. Sometimes it may be the roof of a building, or the entire building may collapse because of the power of the hurricane. But in the midst of the hurricane, there is a spot called the eye of the storm. And as the hurricane is coming strongly, everybody looks out for the eye of the storm. Because if the eye of the storm was at the western end, after some time it's expecting to be at the central end. And after some time it may drift to the eastern end. So there is always the eye of the storm. And in the eye of the storm, there is no turbulence. In the eye of the storm, there's no destruction. In the eye of the storm, the winds are not violent. And nothing is devastating in that situation. So in the eye of the storm, you can have a breather. In the eye of the storm, you have peace and calmness. And I want to suggest to you that there is turbulence all over, but in God and in Christ Jesus, there is the eye of the storm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the canopy and protection of the Almighty. That hurricane may destroy things in a week, but God will ordain that by the time it lands where you are in the eye of the storm. Can you lift up your right hand and shout, "I am in the eye of the storm. I am in the eye of the storm." God is hiding you in his cleft and in the rocks. You're in the eye of the storm. Pastor, I can't sleep. When I sleep, I guess all kinds of attacks. Yeah, there's a hurricane. But you know where you are. You are in the eye of the storm. So you have to get up and seek the face of God, that he will secure your victory, and that your protection will be guaranteed, and that no evil shall befall you, that your going out is blessed, and your coming in is blessed. Listen to me. Sometimes the adversity that you experience is a blessing in disguise. Sometimes the worst thing that happened to you could be the best thing you ever experienced in your life. Some misfortunes could be great avenues for blessing. One author said that every situation of adversity carries with it a seed of great opportunities. You didn't hear what I said. Every situation of adversity carries with it a seed of opportunities. So in the adversity, there is an opportunity. The four lepers were caught on the outskirts of Samaria, and Samaria had been besieged by the enemies, so their supplies were cut short, and they saw that as a disadvantage. They said, whether we stay here or move toward the camp, we will die. And they said, why don't we attempt to move toward the camp? While they were going, their footsteps were magnified, and the enemies heard it as a loud sound, and they began to run helter-skelter, left all their provision that they had brought, and these lepers moving. The apparent situation of defeat had been turned around and made a situation of victory. The apparent situation of failure had been turned around by the Lord and made a situation of success. I want you to know that there are opportunities where you are. The adverse wind that blew came with seeds of great opportunity. So that is why you can say it is well. Why? The Bible says he has said, so I will boldly say that it is well. I will boldly say that I will never be broke. Now use your mouth. If you are quiet, the devil will defeat you. Use your mouth. You open your mouth and say, I will never be broke. Yes. Now, some people are not saying, I can't say it. I will never be broke. I will never be poor. Yeah, you are saying it. You may be poor, but it is well. 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 I will not go to the grave before my time. I will spend all the days that God has granted me. He has said, so we may boldly say, my life will bounce back to action. My business will not just be revived. It will be making significant and major progress. Doors will open to me. Opportunities will come my way. Access will be granted me. God will lift me higher and higher. His grace will abound to me. It is well with my soul. It is well with me. It is well, brother. It is well, brother. It is well, sister. Oh, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be longer, that it shall be well with thee. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? At your next checkup, the doctor will tell you whether it's your eyes, your ears, your chest, your lungs, your liver, your duodenum, whatever it is, kidneys, your brain,
whatever it is, you'll be told it is well. It is well. It is well with your soul. It is well. It is well. Oh, it is well. It may look turbulent, it may look chaotic, it may look violent, but it is well.